Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Podcast. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice. Our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Well, hi everybody, it's Dr. Zafiridis. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I know it's been a little while, but thank you for your patience. I have a great show planned for you today. We're going to be talking about the power of kindness today on the program. Kindness, a simple act, a random act, how powerful it is, what you can do, the power that you have right now to literally save a life. It's happened. And I want to talk about it. I want to talk about kindness because in a world that's so busy where we can be unbelievably connected to each other, we feel more disconnected and we forget sometimes our humanity and how much a simple kind act can ripple through and have amazing effects. So a great show today talking about the power of kindness in the news. Wow, some really interesting research out there on the mind and creativity as well as stress. You ever wonder why some people maybe handle stress a little bit more than you, or that you handle it better than someone you know who might be a little bit more nervous? Well, the latest research gives us even better of an understanding as to why some people may have the advantage over others when it comes to dealing with stress, the biology of it, and also creativity. Is it nature or nurture? How much of this are you born with? And is there any way that you can practice to become creative? And this new study is really going to challenge what you know about creativity. So kindness, creativity, dealing with stress, and we're going to do some headlines. We've got a great program today. I'm really happy that you're here. So if you're ready, let's begin. You know, in a world that's so busy, sometimes it's very easy to get cynical about an act of kindness, about the power of just a real simple, maybe even unknown act of kindness. What a ripple of an effect that can have. And I've talked about this before, but more recently in one of my sessions, someone really reaffirmed the power of these acts of kindness. And in this world, when we're saying, gosh, how powerful really am I? What difference can I make? I hope with some of these stories that I'm about to tell you, that you can see how powerful potentially you can be without even realizing it, I had someone come in last week, and they were telling me about how they were struggling with some family situations and not getting along with their parents. It's been a long-standing issue. The sibling rivalry and conflict was there, and it's just a real struggle for this individual. And she was saying that in a time where she felt so alone and neglected or almost made to feel invisible, it was the power of someone who didn't even realize that walked past her in a store and just said hello to her in the store, but in a way that she thought was compassionate and truly genuine. And she said that it was the beginning of her recovery, if you will, of feeling better, of beginning to remember that she matters. It was a beautiful story, and I shared with her something I've shared with those of you that have been listening to the podcast for quite some time. If you haven't, if this is your first show, welcome. But for those that might not have heard this story, a few years ago, someone had come in, and in the scope of our discussion, it told me she was feeling very depressed. Depressed to the point where she was not only feeling suicidal, but was actually making plans on how to end her life. It was a particularly dark time in her life, and she was in the grocery store and was buying a few things and was checking out at the checkout counter, and the cashier that was there had just struck up a conversation and smiled at her and just told her how much she appreciated seeing her. Now, she got in her car and went home, and it was this simple gesture. I'm sure the cashier, if you pushed her for that, even a few minutes later, or certainly within a day, she wouldn't remember that she had done that. But it was something in that discussion, just that kindness to say, hey, you exist. Not only that you exist, but it's nice to see you. Literally saved her life. She was in the process of getting rid of her possessions and was going to end her life. But it was something about that moment that changed it for her. I've also told others about a story that I had heard from one of my patients that simply the way someone smiled at them as they were driving by was enough to jumpstart their mood to where they began to feel better or to feel that they exist and there is meaning and purpose. And as I said at the top of the show, we often wonder, gosh, what difference am I going to make? I'm one person. What really is my life worth? I mean, why be here? A simple act of kindness, if it has that power, we don't know how many people are right there on the edge that are struggling or are about to become depressed or anxious. And something as simple as a kind act, a hello, a smile, opening a door, a thank you. I'm glad that you're here. A few words being uttered changes a person's life. Now, this isn't pie in the sky or woo-woo or some kind of self-helpy kind of discussion here. This actually happens. This is what people have told me in the sessions that I have with those I'm privileged to treat. I have no reason to doubt them, but I think that it is very important if you begin to doubt yourself, your worth, your meaning, what your purpose is, you have to consider how special you are. You have to consider how important you are and really what the power of kindness can do, not only for those that you may be kind to, but it comes around and you feel good for doing it. It takes just as much energy to smile. It takes just as much energy to say something rather than not to. But the difference that it makes. With the recent violence that we've seen in school shootings, yet another one at a college most recently, we see what happens when individuals get so isolated, marginalized, made to feel as if they're invisible. We need that contact. As I've talked to you before about these existential issues of our lives, of the human condition, part of it is we need to know that we matter, that there's a purpose, that we're not alone. And not that one act of kindness is going to make all the difference in the world for everyone or all the people that you come across, but it could for someone. And it does. It has. It's literally saved a life. Whoever that person was, that woman, that person in the car, the person in the store or the grocery store, they'll never know. You'll never know, or may never know. But that doesn't mean there isn't incredible power there in simply being kind. And in the absence of that, we feel desperate. Not because there's something wrong with us, but that we're human beings, and this is the human condition. Never doubt your strength, your power, your relevance, You're so much more powerful than you can imagine. The actions that you take are important. They matter. And in the case of kindness, not only does it make you feel good, but it can literally save a life. So take the time. Gratitude, kindness, it all matters. We're all in this together. And if we're kind to each other and gracious, these are huge steps we take towards our happiness and the happiness of others and for our journey to the healthy mind. And now it's time for news. Okay, well, this first piece of news, how do you deal with stress? How good are you at dealing with stress? Are there people who are much more calm than you in the face of tension or stress? Or are you the person who is super chill? Well, we all deal with stress differently. And in general, stress can be a great motivator. It can really energize us when we are facing a problem or a life stressor. But for some of us, stress can be so bad that it triggers depression. And really, up to 20% of us are going to struggle with depression at some point in our life. And researchers are really looking, at least this is what's happening in mental health research, at how and why. What are these triggers? What are the reasons that some people get depressed and others don't? Well, recently, a team of researchers from Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory looked into this topic of stress and depression. They were led by Professor Bo Lee. And what they found was a group of nerves that really determines how a brain responds to stress, whether we deal with it by rising to the occasion and being resilient, or we get overwhelmed and we're defeated. Now, over the years, scientists have looked everywhere within the brain using imaging to look for changes that can help us understand depression. And someone was asking me today, in fact, what about a CAT scan or an MRI of my brain to figure out why I'm so depressed? And really, we're just not at that stage of science with regards to emotions and depression and anxiety to say exactly here it is in the brain where it happens. It may never be that clear, but the part of the brain that has had the most interest, where the most changes have been seen, has been in an area in the frontal part of the brain. It's called the medial prefrontal cortex. And this part of the brain really becomes hyperactive when people are depressed. Now, the important part of this is that prefrontal cortex is responsible for the control of emotions and behaviors. Essentially, it links our feelings with our actions. Now, as I said, we're not that advanced in the science, at least this point. We're not sure if those changes in the brain cause depression or if depression already occurs. These are the changes that we see in the brain. But what Dr. Lee and those at the Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory did was they wanted to identify changes in the brains, and here they used mice, that underlies depression. And they used a model known as learned helplessness. And learned helplessness essentially is what we feel when we sense there's no way out of a situation. Doesn't matter anything that we do, we aren't going to get out of this situation, and we feel totally helpless. And they combined this model of learned helplessness along with some genetic markings, and they looked at specific areas of the brain to see if any of them changed during stress. And what they found was, not surprisingly, the nerves in the medial prefrontal cortex became highly excited in the mice that were depressed. But to their surprise, the same nerves, the same part of the brain, were weakened in mice that aren't affected by stress, kind of these resilient mice. But the team still couldn't be sure that the enhanced activity there in the frontal part of the brain actually caused depression. So what they did was engineer the mice to mimic the conditions that they found in depressed mice. According to Dr. Lee, quote, "We artificially enhanced the activity of these nerves using a powerful method known as chemical genetics, and the results were remarkable. Once strong and resilient mice became helpless, showing all the classic signs of depression." End of quotes. Now, their results may help explain how some treatments for depression may work and may lead to further improvement in the treatment of depression, especially with a growing field of deep brain stimulation. And with deep brain stimulation, you can really suppress the activity of nerves in specific parts of the brain. And they're hoping that their research and research that continues based on this study will help make the treatment of deep brain stimulation and depression in general that much better. Learning about stress, depression, and how our brain changes. The science always moves forward. If you're struggling with depression and anxiety and you haven't got the relief that you need, the science is moving forward. Remember that. It's never standing still. Okay, now, this next piece of news, really liked it. I found it really interesting. Creativity. Why are some people more creative than others? Why are some people naturally adept at maybe music or art or advertising or what have you? Why are some people more creative? How much of that is nature, kind of you're born with it, or nurture? Is there a certain environment or environments where we can place ourselves or exercises that allow us to be more creative? Well, a new study from two universities overseas, Maharishi University and University West, has found that creativity may depend on a process known as brain integration. Okay, what is brain integration? And the way that the doctors explain it, this is Dr. Fred Travis and Dr. Yvonne LeGrosin, they describe brain integration as really mind-brain development. People that have a high mind-brain development are alert, they're interested in learning in new things, and they're disposed to kind of seeing the whole picture. They don't just focus on the problems or challenges right in the moment, but are able to step back and see the whole picture consistently. They think in wide circles and are emotionally stable, and they're unselfish. According to Dr. Travis, quote, "It's a simple fact that some people stand out, and we're trying to tease out why. We thought that something must be different about the way their brains work, and that's what we're finding." End of quotes. So what did they do? They used a process that's known as a brain integration scale. They used kind of a brainwave recorder, EEG, to, again, surprise, the frontal area of the brain is where they studied it, along with what's known as alpha power. But it's a connectedness of various areas of the brain, how well they connect together. And in all of his studies, what they used were really people who you would expect to be very creative, top-level performers showing higher levels of brain integration. And Dr. Travis has been studying this for a long time, and he's found this relationship of brain integration that is much greater in world-class athletes, top managers, and professional musicians. And who specifically they studied was a group of product development engineers in Sweden. Of course, a group of people who would be very creative. And what they found, based on their studies, was their level of brain integration put them into the 70th to 90th percentile. Now, they showed a strong correlation between higher flexibility and originality in verbal creativity and even figure creativity, and higher levels of brain integration, faster brain processing, faster speed of decision making, and a sense of being in control. These consistent findings matched up with some of the changes that they saw in the brain. Now, according to Dr. LeGrosin, who's the Swedish researcher in the project, she stated, quote, "Our findings highlight that creativity in the form of flexibility and originality is connected to whole brain functioning and psychological development. Since creativity is highly important for individual success, optimizing brain function should be a priority for everyone, especially students. And they talked about, while there is the kind of from the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, that 10,000 hours of anything can make you an expert and a professional. And some people do that and do not hit those high levels of superiority. So it may not be just that practice makes perfect, but brain integration is important as well. They found that there are different ways to change brain integration. Zen meditation or transcendental meditation helps as well. So it can be learned as well. But I guess the main point is that biology along with environment can determine creativity and can take people to higher levels than they can imagine. Creativity science, this field of science, is really fascinating, kind of like habit science. And like habit science, it's in its infancy. It'll be amazing to see what we find and how we can really make our brains as creative as they can possibly be. Okay, we've done the news, but let's wrap it up with some headlines. Okay, the first headline. A sense of obligation leads to trusting strangers, a new study says, and it may be that guilt is a contributing factor. Trusting a stranger may have more to do with feeling morally obligated to show respect for someone else's character than actually believing the person is trustworthy. Guilt gets in the way. This, according to new research published by the American Psychological Association. The next headline. Night owls may be more sedentary and less motivated to exercise. Oh man, I read this a couple times because yours truly is a night owl. A new study suggests that night owls are much more sedentary and feel that they have a harder time maintaining an exercise schedule. Oh yeah. The researchers found that later sleep timing is associated with greater sedentary minutes and higher perceived barriers to exercise. Get up early and get going. Okay, the last headline. Dads, daughters, listen up. The headline, dads who share the load bolster their daughters' aspirations. This is a great study. This study found that fathers who help with household chores are more likely to raise daughters who aspire to less traditional and potentially higher paying careers. This was from the Association of Psychological Science, and the study found that the way parents share all the duties around the home, like washing dishes, doing the laundry, and other things around the house, play a key role in shaping the gender attitudes and aspirations of their children, and especially their daughters. So, you may want to give your dad an extra hug Father's Day, on his birthday, Christmas, for doing the stuff around the home. It may have helped shape what you've decided to do a lot more than we've ever realized. All right, folks, that's just about going to do it for this week's podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. Thank you for those emails. You're so very kind. I love the suggestions, and I am going to get the newsletter out for those of you who have asked me. The website, as always, thehealthymind.com. And if the spirit moves you, a great way to support the podcast is simply go over to iTunes and rate the podcast. You can leave a review if you like, but simply giving a rating, you have no idea what it's done for us this far, and I really can't thank you enough for doing so. You can follow me on Twitter. I tweet at Dr. Zafiridis. And any questions, comments, anything, I want to hear from you. Email me, Peter at thehealthymind.com. That's Peter at thehealthymind.com. And for the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on The Healthy Mind.